How many of you are overwhelmed by God? Overwhelmed by God's presence, overwhelmed by God's love. I am overwhelmed. I love the lyrics in this worship song. It also says, I know the power of the cross, the power of your cross forgiven and free. Forever you'll be my God. I am overwhelmed. Wow. Forever you'll be my God. In light of this morning's passage, the words, I know the power of the cross, linger heavily on my heart. For there are those of us who may not know the power of the cross, who may not know the power of God's grace, who may not know the power of God's love and mercy. And this morning, our text introduces us to a group of those who do not know, and a few who decide in the midst of chaos, they too will turn the world upside down. We find ourselves in Acts 17 traveling with the Apostle Paul through the sophisticated and intellectual city of Athens. Our lectionary passage drops us into a situation where the Apostle Paul travels through the city and observes how it is full of idols. Verse 16 tells us that this discovery has put Paul deeply in distress. And as you may know, Athens is the hub of the Western civilization. It is filled with the intellectual teachings of Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle. The city is filled with Epicureans and Stoic philosophers who believe sensual pleasures or striving for happiness is the goal for life. And according to this translation, the Apostle Paul begins to argue and debate, but not in the way in which we think of today. See, the Greek here indicates that the Apostle Paul was having a dialogue, an ongoing dialogue with those around as he was sharing the news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He went into the synagogues day after day. He went into the marketplace and he dialogued with the Jews and the devout persons. I have to admit that I remember being like these intellectuals when I was in undergrad in Boston and seminary in Atlanta, debating what I thought I knew. See, these intellectuals in Athens, they begin to take notice of Paul's strange teaching. They referred to him as a babbler, one who has scraps of knowledge. I love that, scraps of knowledge. These scraps of knowledge stirred their curiosity enough for them to invite Paul to share the news of this newfound teaching. Luke records accounts of where Paul is preaching in many cities, and quite often he encounters a violent reaction in these towns that he happens to be pushed out of at certain times. So on this day, as Paul stands in front of this hill in Athens, the first phrase out of his mouth is a compliment. He says, Athenians, I know how very religious you are. I know how smart and intellectual you are. I know how learned and sophisticated you are. But as I walked through your city, I have looked carefully at your objects of worship, and I have found among them an altar and inscription to an unknown god. See, to these intellectuals, an unknown god is a god who is distant and absent, a god who cannot be explained, a God in which no relationship has been formed, a God who has not been named. There is an interesting event associated with the altar to this unknown God. Years prior to Paul proclaiming the news of Christ, the city of Athens was devastated by a plague, and many Athenians perished. There was a debate among the Athenians. They offered sacrifices to figure out which god was afflicting them with this deadly disease. Despite the many altars in the city, none of their efforts stopped the plague. In their mind, the god was angry with them. So they devised a test. They would release a flock of sheep that had not been allowed to feed. And wherever the sheep would stop to feed, this would be the god that was causing the plague. So when the sheep were released, they passed by all the altars and stopped to graze in an area where there was no altar. The Athenians, the intellectuals, these very smart people dedicated an altar to the unknown God. So Paul stands before the people to share the good news of this unknown God. This text has challenged me and really challenges all of us to reflect on how often we share the news of our God who is unknown to so many, but according to Genesis 1:26, has made us according to God's likeness and God's image. See, this unknown God who is known to many of us is our creator, is the Lord of heaven and earth. This unknown God who does not live in shrines made by human hands and who needs nothing from us. This is the unknown God who gives life to all of humanity. What the Apostle Paul offers in this moment is not exclusive. It is not condemning. It is connecting, inviting, living, and relational. This text message is portrayed by many scholars as one of the least successful attempts at bringing people to Christ. They're looking at their lackluster numbers. Verse 32 says, when these intellectuals heard of the resurrection of the dead, some scoffed. Others were dismissive and said, we will hear you again about this at another time. And then some joined him and became believers. This is not the day-by-day adding to the numbers that we experience in Acts chapter 2. But I want to share with you this morning about how we are reminded in this passage, how inspiring and encouraging, how reconciling and forgiving, how full of grace it is to see in this passage that God is with us. It is a reminder to us and news to the Athenians and today to those who may not know God or feel that they have been forgotten by God, that I, that you, that we are God's offspring. We are God's children. We are God's family. The God whom Paul proclaimed was no local Jewish God. He was and is the sovereign Lord of all humankind. Paul, in his words, through his quotes of philosophers and Old Testament thought coming from Psalm 50 and Isaiah 42, he is luring the Athenians and us into a relationship that is much deeper, more meaningful, much more rich than seeking only sensual pleasures and overall happiness. Paul is speaking to those who do not believe. But I ask you this morning, do you believe in the God who made the world and everything in it? Do you believe in the God who is the Lord of heaven and earth? Do you believe in the God who does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands? Do you believe that this God, in this God, we live and move and have our being? Do you believe? See, this is a doxology of our faith, the way in which we praise God. As the church, we often affirm our faith with these words: I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. But long before we had this affirmation, Paul stood before a group and simply said, you are God's offspring. You are children of God, a God who created all of humanity. A children of a God who is the Lord of heaven and earth. Some may find this very comforting. Some may find this encouraging. But in these moments, we are called, according to John Wesley, to do no harm, to do good, to stay in love with this known God for us and unknown God to others. He has made himself known through art and music. He has made himself known through nature. He has made himself known through one another. This passage is not some secret handshake or has some special hidden context in these verses. This is a guide for us as God's people, who at times cannot see or cannot hear. We run and we fall into the arms of the one who calls us his children. Here we are witnessing Paul declare that this unknown God may be known. See, this is not an abstract concept, but one who has left evidence through his Son, Jesus Christ. The one who reveals himself through healing, nature, transformed lives, and newborn babies. This unknown God is a genuine possibility for all who seek him. There is no need to persuade people that God exists. Paul didn't do that. He invited them in. And we are called to introduce people to a relationship with Jesus Christ, letting others know they are children of the Most High God. They're children of a God who knows and loves us. I want to share with you for a moment how this unknown God to some, but known to you, has been working in your daily lives. I went back through the past couple of months and checked my emails and cards and notes and text messages that you sent to me, and I wanted to let you hear some of the ways in which I've witnessed this unknown God to some, but known to us, reveal himself. This God has stirred your hearts as you responded to requests with, I am available for whatever you need. I saw God at work as you pulled up early in the morning with your masks on, ready to deliver food all over Pensacola. I personally am wearing a mask that was made for me and prayed over for me. I see God at work through you, this unknown God for some, but known to so many. I saw this unknown God for some, but known to you through your prayers of strength and love for our staff and our families. I've witnessed this God who is known to us through these words. I try not to let the media pull me down, but it's important to stay up to date. So as one with lots of time to pray, I ask that you join me in lifting up all the little children who have no place to go. I ask that you join me to pray for the parents who no longer have jobs. I ask for you to pray for me as I pray for you, this unknown God, to some, but known to us, is working in and through your lives. This person continues to write, as I'm praying for these families who do not have 25 cents in their pockets, I want you to know that I have been there. And it was in 1986. Talk about being scared. Being the breadwinner and working part-time at $4.25 an hour. But I can say that this unknown God, the God who is for us, has carried me. She says, believers carried me. See, it is through our relationship with the God that reveals himself to us that we bring this God, this unknown God, to others. Because we are God's offspring. We are his children. We are his family. And out of the depths of our heart, we give back to those in need. It is this unknown God for some who has revealed himself to us, that is calling us as his offspring to spread the good news. It is this unknown God who has carried us in all that we are doing. It is this unknown God who leads and guides us. It is this unknown God who walks with us. It is this unknown God who stirs our hearts to respond. So do you believe? Do you believe in this text that says you are God's offspring? Do you believe in the God who blesses you every day just by waking you up? Do you believe in the one who stirs your heart to provide for those who are less fortunate? You are the offspring of the one who calls us. The one who calls us to do no harm. The one who calls us to do good. The one who calls us to stay in love with God. You are the offspring of this unknown God to some, but who is known to us as the offspring of this God. We are being called in so many ways to let our light shine. This unknown God is known to us. So let us share the good news. When we meet people, we just say, you are a child.